Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 3, text 29, Canto 3, chapter 29, text 30. Chapter 29, text 29. Tatrapi sparshaveni bhya. Pravararasaveni na. Tebhyo gandha-virashreshtas tata-sabdo-viro-vara tata-sabdo-viro tatra-bhisparsha-venibhya pravara-rasa-venina tebhyo gandha-virashreshtas Tata sabda virovara Tatra bisparsha veribhya Pravara rasa verina Tebhyo ganda virashreshta Tata sabda virovara Tatra, among them, api, moreover, sparsha vedibhya, than those perceiving touch, pravara, better, rasa vedina, those perceiving taste, tebhya, than them. Gandavida, those perceiving smell, Shreshta, better, Tata, than them, Sabdavida, those perceiving sound, Vada, better. Translation, among the living entities who have developed sense perception, those who have developed the sense of taste are better than those who have developed only the sense of touch. Better than them are those who have developed the sense of smell, and better still are those who have developed the sense of hearing. Translation, please repeat. Among the living entities who have developed sense perception.
Among the living entities who have developed sense perception.
Those who have developed the sense of taste.
Those who have developed the sense of taste.
Are better than those who have developed only the sense of touch. Better than them are those who have developed a sense of smell.
Better than them are those who have developed a sense of smell.
And better still are those who have developed a sense of hearing.
And better still are those who have developed a sense of hearing.
Purport, although Westerners accept that Darwin first expanded the doctrine of evolution, the science of anthropology is not new. The development of the evolutionary process was known long before from the Bhagavatam, which was written 5,000 years ago. There are records of the statements of Kapila Muni, who was present almost in the beginning of the creation. This knowledge has existed since the Vedic time, and all these sequences are disclosed in Vedic literature. The theory of gradual evolution or anthropology is not new to the Vedas. It is said here that among the trees, there are also evolutionary processes. The different kinds of trees have touch perception. It is said that better than the trees are the fish, because the fish have developed the sense of taste. Better than the fish are the bees, who have developed the sense of smell. And better than them are the serpents, because serpents have developed the sense of hearing. In the darkness of night, a snake can find its edibles simply by hearing the frog's very pleasant cry. The snake can understand, there is the frog. And he captures the frog simply because of its sound vibration. This example is sometimes given for persons who vibrate sounds simply for death. One may have a very nice tongue that can vibrate sounds like the frogs, but that kind of vibration is simply called death. The best use of the tongue and of sound vibration is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna
Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
That will protect one from the hands of cruel death. Tatrapi sparsha vedibhya pravara rasavedina tebhyo ganda virashrestha stata sabda virovara. Among the living entities who have developed sense perception, those who have developed the sense of taste are better than those who have developed only the sense of touch. Better than them are those who have developed the sense of smell. Better still are those who have developed the sense of hearing. Can we turn that blower down to the next, to the medium? Is it only got one on or off, or has it got medium level? So, Lord Kapila Dev now is very much detailing the study, analytical study of the various species of life. He's famous for his Sankhya Yoga. And now we're hearing about what Prabhupada calls the evolutionary process. he says that Westerners accept Darwin. They accept Darwin was the one who first expanded the doctrine of evolution. The science of anthropology is not new. The evolutionary process was known long before from the Bhagavatam, written 5,000 years ago. And not only that, says Lord Kapila, was long time. You know, we were talking Kadabha Muni and Lord Brahma right in the beginning of the creation. So this whole thing, but it's different from, you know, like the what the Darwin theory is, you know, the evolution theory of Darwin is more or less based on the changing bodies. The body adapts to its environment, or it's in one environment, and to perhaps survive, it moves from one environment to the other, and because it's gone from one environment to the other over many millions of years, it adapts to that and changes. You know, the fish come out of the sea and then they start going on the land or something like that, and then they start crawling, and then the legs start evolving because of the need to adapt to the environment that now the fish or whatever came out of the sea had to adapt to. So generally it is like that. The evolutionary process is the changing bodies that have evolved over time, and they have a very complicated and comprehensive different explanations for all that, giving references here and there and the other thing. But this type of evolution is not accepted in the Srimad Bhagavatam or in the Vedic literature. And as Prabhupada says, the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken 5,000 years ago, and Lord Kapila spoke this understanding to Devahuti many millions of years ago. So there is an evolution, but the evolution is that of the soul passing through the different bodies. Not that the bodies are changing. The bodies are created right in the beginning of the creation. We know that Lord Brahma, he is very powerful, and he can create all sorts of living beings from his mind, from his different parts of his body. He creates not. He has progeny not in the same way as ordinary persons. See, there's no, husband and wife. For Lord Brahma can just create by his mystic power, and then the beings that he creates. They can have all types of different species of life as their children. Vinata had Garuda, eagle, and Garuda had Kadru. Kadru had the snakes. One of the different wives of Kasyapa Muni. Kasyapa married different He married 13 daughters of Daksha, and the other Devas married other daughters. And Kashyapa, through the different deity, and Aditi was the mother of the demigods, deity of the daityas, and there was Nagas, who came from another wife of Kashyapa. So the different species of life, right from the very beginning, and populated all over the universe. And now the soul, according to his consciousness, is placed into one of these life forms, one of these species of life. And according to the development of his consciousness, he evolves from one species to another species to another species. And those species are also variegated. The general number is given 8,400,000 different species of life, according to the Vedic calculation, all different varieties of the species and so on. So the soul, according to the level of consciousness, now, it's said at the end of the creation, those souls that haven't perfected their spiritual consciousness come back again. From one life to the next, of course, but at the end of the day of Brahma, and then at the end of the life of Brahma, they're kept in the abdomen of the Mahavishnu. And at the end of the day of Brahma, they're kept in the abdomen of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and they come up through the stem of the lotus. It's very inconceivably how this is all going on, through the stem and into the form of Lord Brahma and coming out like that. Very inconceivably how Krishna arranges all these things. And so according to their previous consciousness, then they're destined kamana divinetrena, by divine arrangement, by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Kiridakshaya Vishnu, and by their prakriti, the arrangement of prakriti, shaga vishaga, elements are created, planetary systems. Lord Brahma rearranges everything. So all these different processes are there. And then according to the consciousness, one will go into the deva body, one will go into the rishi body, one will go into the naga body, one will go into the tree body. And it is mentioned here, sometimes some stone, hills and mountains, they have some life form, the soul is within them. Although imperceptibly you can't see much of the life there. Prabhupada actually mentioned in the previous purport that there are some hills that grow over many millions and millions of years. There's some actual growth there, but the perception of that is, and the perception of life there is hard to ascertain because it's so dullened. But nevertheless, it's there. So now here, Kapila is explaining. There are different, first of all, he explained that there is God, and then he expands in so many ways, and then there's the prakriti, and then so on and so forth. And one needs to learn to understand the oneness of all things, but the differences also, especially here in the material world, but not only in the material, in the spiritual world also, there's the oneness of spirituality, but there's differences also, there's the Vaikunthas. In the Vaikunthas, there are many different forms of the Lord. And on those planetary systems, the living entities are residing. They can have the mukti of Samishta or Shashti or Sarupya or Salokya, and they can be in different rasas, Shantaras, Dasyaras. So there are all different varieties of. And then in the Vaikuntha, you go higher and higher. It is said at the top of the Vaikuntha, at like the gateway, there's like. The planet of Lord Ram, just like next week is Ram Navami, So Lord Ram lives at the Ayodhya of the spiritual world, just like in India, you can go to the Ayodhya. It is said to be the Dharma manifest in this world. But beyond this world, there's also the holy abode of Lord Ram. There Sita is there, Hanuman is there, everyone is there, in their eternal forms in the Ayodhya. That is high in the Vaikuntha. And then you go further to the Dwarka. and then to the Mathura, and then to the Vrindavan. And then in the Vrindavan, there's so many different devotees, and they're acting in different ways. They all represent the different types of lila, different types of relationships, different energies. Shakti Tattva, Ladini Shakti is Radharani. Yesterday, the other day, I was talking about Prabhav, Swayam Prakash, Swayam Vilas, Swayam Prabhav, Swayam Vaibhav. All the acharyas explain all these things and categorize them in different ways. So this is a very detailed study. And so from the topmost planet, right through the spiritual worlds, to the material existence, Mahatattva, the tattva of the material existence, then energies are also working. Energies are working. You know, it is said that Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada put out a book called Lord Chaitanya in Five Features. It was an excerpt from Chaitanya Charamrita, but Prabhupada thought to put that out first because it is mentioned that Lord Chaitanya, Panchatattva Makam Krishna, Bhakta Rupa Sorupakam, Bhakta Vatana, Bhakta Namami, Bhakta Shaktikam, he came in five features to show there is different varieties in spiritual existence also. This is very, because quite popular these days, you know, apart from material life, when one tries to understand spiritual, generally the tendency is that the spiritual, to come to the spiritual, is the exact opposite of the material. Means in material we have, you know, individuals, personalities, variety, and that therefore spiritual must mean exact opposite. No individuals, no personality, no variety, just one. So that's an easy conclusion. And certainly there's an existence of Brahman and so on and so forth. But even the Brahman, the effulgence of the Lord that actually emanates from the Lord, is that Brahman. And in that Brahman there are unlimited living entities who are trying to exist on that platform. So even that is not, even when someone thinks just one energy, and they're not quite mature even on that level of realization. But because in the Brahman there are all living entities adding to the effulgence of the Supreme Personality God. He has his own effulgence emanating from his unlimited transcendental form, is the Brahman effulgence, permeates everywhere. And in there, situated on that energy, is all the living entities who want to, who have, you know, by their practice, they've attained freedom from the material world and gone to that Brahman effulgence, and they're living in that energy, just existing in that situation. But as it is considered, although it's considered a mukti, a liberation, it's not considered totally perfect yet. One can go higher, and actually, in one sense, it's not the ultimate position of the soul, because there's no reciprocation, and actually the soul is meant for a spiritual reciprocation. So it is said, even though one is freed from material suffering and living in the Brahman, one ultimately cannot stay there forever. One either has to come back down to the world. So many living entities are again coming back to the world for want of activity. They come back to the world, or if they're very fortunate, if somehow or other a very great devotee passes through that area, like Narad Muni or someone, and is chanting Hare Krishna through the Brahman. Many great devotees do that. They're giving their mercy, passing through Brahman, chanting Hare Krishna, doing the kirtan. And then they're benefited. Maybe they can go from the Brahman up. That's possible by the mercy of the pure devotee and by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's those levels, and then to the material world, all different forms of body, species of life, and as I said, the living entity goes inside by kamana daivanetrina jantudeya papataye. It is mentioned by superior arrangement, by the combination arrangement, firstly by the Supreme Lord in his form as Kiradakshaya Vishnu, in the heart of all, knows all, arranges the transmigration, and then of course by the prakriti and by the natural arrangement, how the living entity goes in through the semen and then mixing with the ovum and forms a body, and then that body grows, but the soul is inside there. So this is how one enters the body generally. Of course there are other methods also that is used by the Supreme Lord, and prakriti also, but So the souls are going. So according to the consciousness of those souls, they're placed in various life forms. And then as the consciousness develops, one evolves from that body to the next body to the next. Now, generally it is said, in the Shastras explain, that when one goes, the living entity comes to a high position first, and then because of desires is placed into other positions. Of course, if one has the consciousness left over from the former life of a low position, then one may also be placed in a more low position. It's a very complicated situation. So when the living entity can come in, even the stone, even the hill, or something like that, then that living entity's consciousness is very covered. And then it is said, automatically one will go from that species to the next. One lives that life, how long it ever, whatever it may be, then one will go automatically to the next, to the next, to the next. But of course, there is the consideration of karma. Maybe the karma as a human being means, oh, this one has to go for 10 lives as the dog. I remember reading many years ago one story of a Buddha, some Brahmana, by due to sinful activity, in the next life came back as a Buddha. And then he was going, and he met another Buddha. Of course, there's many Buddhas. And he was asking, how did the other one become a Buddha? And the other one was asking, how did you become a Buddha? And the Buddhas can remember all these things. And he said, yes, because I was very sinful. You know, now I'm destined. I was destined. Now I'm in the Buddha. But previously, I also had to go through other bodies. And he said, for 10 lives, I was the hog. And then I was camel for a few lives. Then I was donkey, like that. He actually recounted how many lives he had to live because of the karma. Someone can be like that. But normally, okay, when one finishes one life, automatically goes to the next life. But by karma, sometimes one has to do a few lives as dog. For you, not one life as dog. 3 lives. 5 lives. So this was the story recounted. I read one time in the Garuda Purana, this story of the 2 Buddhas talking. And it was recounted in that Purana, and how they were telling their story. So therefore, you know, sometimes your forefathers have ended up like that. So in the Vedic civilization, one does the Shraddha ceremony and all sorts of different rituals to help the forefathers who may have been in that situation. There was one story of one Brahmana, I think named Jada, which is very... he wasn't very good. He was very sinful, very addicted to intoxication, alcohol, and drinking, and many illicit activities. He was very making a lot of money. You know, everything was about money making. So he did a trip to a distant, this is India, he did a trip to a distant place to, you know, for a business trip. And there he made, you know, did some deal and he made a lot of money. He was carrying some of it back home. So as he was carrying, it was in the ancient time, so he was just going by walking. So he stopped, he found himself one night at the end of the day in a remote area. So, and became dark, and it wasn't near any village or anything like that. So he thought, I'll just stay under this tree. But unbeknownst to him, some robbers were following him. They had identified him as, this one's got money. They had been following him for some time. They were waiting for their opportunity. They saw now is a remote area, now is dark. When he goes to sleep, we'll rob him. And so they came, they robbed him, and not only that, when he tried to put up a resistance, they bashed him and they actually killed him and took everything. So he was dead. So in the meantime, his son, who was actually a very good devotee of Krishna, his son was very religious and very good devotee. So the son, after a week, the son was worried, where is father? He hasn't supposed to come back, but he hasn't come back. So then he went, traveled in search of him. And he was asking here and there, you know, giving the description and everything like that. And he came to one place, and then he met one man after he gave this. Oh, yes, we had someone here pretty, who was killed by the robbers. And we already buried that one. And so the son was very, he gave the description and the clothes and everything like that. He thought, oh my. So he's very saddened. So he wanted to go to Gaya. He wanted to go to Gaya and do the Pindar ceremony for his father. But as he was traveling, he just happened to come and stay under the same tree that his father was killed, just by chance or by destiny. And when he was staying there, because he was a great devotee, he would worship Krishna every night. There was some indication he had, might have had a shalagram or something like that. He would do his Krishna worship. And not only that, his habit was to chant Bhagavad Gita every night. So he did that. And as he chanted Bhagavad Gita, he heard a big sound. And he looked up, and the sound came from the tree, some big burst sound. He looked up, he saw a shining form. And when he looked very closely, he could see the face of his father. And he was very shocked, he was very surprised. Father. And he had effulgence form. He had a form like four-handed Vishnu. Just hovering in the sky, in the area of the tree. So he looked up, his father, wasn't it? And how is it that you were killed, but now I'm seeing you? He said, yes, because I was very sinful. The robbers came. He told the whole thing, and then, but because you were worshiping Krishna, and you were chanting Bhagavad Gita here, God has been very kind to me. He has liberated me. Actually, he had become a ghost. The father had become a ghost. A Buddha, and he was still living in that tree. Buddhas like to live in the trees. So that because he was killed there, he came back as a Buddha, and the father was still living in the tree. And so God has been kind to me and liberated me from my Buddha form. And now I'm liberated with a spiritual form. And so I'm very happy that you are such a great devotee because of your being devotee. His father, is there anything more I can do for you? No, I am happy. But he said, but my brother was also before me here very, very sinful. He was more sinful than me here. I'm sure he has gone to the hell. Maybe you can do. You don't have to go to the Gaya now, but if you continue, you can pray for him and worship Krishna and pray for him. And some of our forefathers are also suffering in the different conditions of life. You can do some ceremony and pray for them. And so the son said, oh, that's very good, Father. And anything else I can do? No, I am happy. And then as the son was looking, some Vishnu Dutas came in a spiritual vimana, a spiritual plane from the Vaikuntha, and picked that father and took him back home, back to God, as the son was looking. So the son was very happy. So when he went home, he had a Krishna temple, and he began to worship Krishna very, and praying to Krishna just as his father requested for the brother and all the ancestors and everything like that. But then he thought that, why just my uncle and our ancestors? I'll pray for all the living entities who are suffering wherever they are. So he's praying and he was reading Bhagavad Gita. So Lord Vishnu was knowing everything. And he was very happy with this son. And so he instructed the Vishnu Dutas. He said, you go to see Yamaraj. He is the Lord of the death. All the sinful entities have to go to him. You go to see Yamaraj and tell Lord Yamaraj that he is to immediately release all the souls from the hell. So the Vishnu Dutas, they came. And of course, Lord Yamaraj was very happy to see the Vishnu Dutas, the messengers of Lord Vishnu. And he bowed down to them. Oh, you are messengers of my master, Lord Vishnu. What can I do? And so they said, Lord Vishnu is instructing you, please release everyone. So he said, yes, of course. But one thing is, can I come with you and have darshan of Lord Vishnu? I want to have darshan of Lord Vishnu. He says, all right, we will take you. So then Yamaraj went to Lord Vishnu and he said, I have, as you requested, I have released those who are destined to get the reactions for their sinful activity. I've released them. And they are, you know, back in good positions. And so Lord Vishnu said, oh, that's very good. You are the great Yamaraj. You have done very nicely. And then and the Lord Yamaraj said, but what will be my service now? Because there is no more sinful living entities in the... So the Lord Vishnu said, no, I don't need to instruct you. You are the great Yamaraj. But, you know, the nature of the world is others will come there. Others will come there. So please go back and continue your service. So Yamaraj paid his money and went back. So now that son, who was a great devotee, who had saved his father and all these, and prayed for all the souls, and Lord Vishnu was so happy with him that, of course, he did his whole life worshiping Krishna, and reading Bhagavad Gita and so on. At the end of his life, Vishnu Dutas came and took him to a very high position as a as an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So such is the benefit, of course, engaging in the spiritual life and being blessed by a great devotee. But generally speaking, one has to go gradually from one species to the other species. So the devotees don't agree with the theory of Darwin, that the bodies are changing. Maybe there's some odd-looking fish or some odd-looking that sometimes they can point to and say, see how this body has changed from the evolution. And, you know, this is the fish and this one is different now. So that one has evolved. Maybe they can give some examples like that. But Vedically, we don't agree with that. But we do agree with the whole idea of evolution. But that's the soul's evolving. Not the soul's evolving. The soul is moving through the different species. And as his consciousness develops, that's the evolution. That's the evolution. And he's going through the different species. So when the consciousness becomes clearer, and then the soul is evolving and he comes up and he comes to the human form of life. Now Lord Kapila talks about the different levels of species of life, and some are considered higher and some are considered lower. And later on we'll read that when he comes to the human being, and they are considered more high than the other animals, and even amongst the human beings there are some are considered more developed and civilized and cultured. And then he goes to the different, so there's different differences. We see the oneness of all souls, a spirit soul, but whilst they're in their bodies, we see the souls are in there, but they will act differently. You know, just we've been explaining it. Prabhupada gave the example, just like the tiger, there's a soul in the tiger's body, but because the soul's very much identifying that soul will act more identifying with the tiger, and the tiger will act in a certain way. So we have to acknowledge that, oh, now that soul's in the tiger body, so how I interact with the tiger will be different to how I interact with the dog or the cat or the tree or the human being. So I have to interact accordingly, but with full understanding, not just based on the body, but just based on the body, not only the body, but the soul in the body as well. So therefore we give respect to all. This is the main point that that Lord Kapila Dev is emphasizing again and again in these verses going back and also going forward, that we have to give respect to all the souls, trees, all souls. But then again, we have to interact with them differently because of their situation. So therefore, now interestingly enough here, he talks about the different levels, you know, going from the living entities who have developed sense perception, those who have developed the sense of taste are better than those, among the living who have developed sense perception, of course there's some who don't have much sense perception, but of those who have developed, because I think in the yesterday's verse, there's inanimate. So there's inanimate objects. You know, and the sense perception is more or less, you know, non-existent. Although there may be some, it's so minimal, it's practically non-existent. So among them, those who display life symptoms are better. Animals with developed consciousness are better than them, and then it starts, those who have developed sense perception. So going up, and then he comes to this verse, and among those who have developed the sense perception, then those who have developed the sense of taste are better than those who have just got basic sense perception. And then, and better than that, those who have developed the sense of touch. Better than them, those who have developed sense of smell. And Prabhupada gives the examples here, amongst the trees, it is said here that amongst the trees there are also evolutionary processes. The different kinds of trees have touch perception. By touch, by going through the ground, they can perceive. Also, Prabhupada was talking about in the previous purport about seeing, and there's a type of seeing of a tree, because you see the plants, they move with the sun. The sun, if the sun is coming from this direction, you'll see that the trees, they'll imperceptibly, because it's done so slowly, but then they'll be bending over that way. Everyone's seen this, that the leaves will be faced more to get the light. So they don't see exactly with like eyes that we have, but they have a sense of seeing that the light is coming, and a sense of feeling. They have a feeling, just like I remember years ago, we had to prune back our tree. We had to actually, the council issued us an order in our temple in Brisbane, and we had three big, actually we were renting at that time, so the owner had to do it, that the trees had to be cut. We had three huge trees. The next door neighbour complained that the tree's roots had found their way into their swimming pool. Even though from a distance, must have been from here to, like there to there again. Somehow or other, the roots had gone under the ground and perceived that there was water here. And the roots had gone in under the swimming pool, very small, very, very small, and gone through the porous section of the underneath the pool, the foundation of the pool, through the concrete or whatever, found, and they gone through small and gone right through to the water, and then grown and split the whole thing up. So many roots, and there were three huge trees. And of course, we didn't like the trees had to be cut, but then the council gave the order, and we weren't even the owner, we were just renting. And so the owner had to actually cut those trees to the point where those trees were killed. Because they didn't want to, they could have come back and cut the roots, but that would, for the karmis, it's just too costly, to do something like that. So there are other ways to do it, of cutting back the roots, but they just chose to cut the whole tree down, to the stump, which more or less killed the tree off. So that was because the roots. So they have a sense of the touch and experiencing all these things, even trees, other plants also. But better than the trees are the fish, because the fish have a sense of taste. Of course, Prabhupada gives the example in the Bhagavatam that the fish can be caught out. That's how they get caught as well, because their sense of taste is so strong that the fisherman comes along and puts a little worm on the end of the bait and then just hangs it in the water like that, and then fish comes along, wants to eat that worm, and goes for the bait, and then it gets caught like that. So they have a very strong sense of taste, fish. And the fish, and then better that is the bees. And the bees have a very strong sense of smell. So Kapila, they've categorized this, that having a smell, and bees also have taste, and smell. But the bees also can be undone by smell, because they're sometimes caught like that. Also, bees can be caught by their sense of smell, or sense of, the bees have a developed sense of smell. They go into the flower, they want to get the pollen of the flower. Sometimes they're caught by the flower when the flower closes up, in the nighttime it closes up and opens and closes. Sometimes there's some sort of flowers. The bees come in there and they close on them and they capture the bees. And the bees don't go out there because they're so intoxicated by the smell of the pollen. So the bees are there, and then the serpents. Serpents are higher still than bees and fish, because they have a sense of hearing. The snakes have a sense of hearing. Generally, you don't see any ears on snakes. And I think the explanation is they hear through there. They've got an inner ear function. Then they hear the vibrations, they capture the vibrations in their jaw, and it goes back to the inner ear auditory area, And that's how they hear. And then Prabhupada talks about the frogs that croak. Ribbit, ribbit. So they get the vibration through their jaws. And also the snakes have got that tongue that they keep poking out, and that apparently picks up the chemicals in the air, and so they use that as well. So they've got a few means of knowing where things are, you know, because the mice or whatever give off chemical odours and things like that. So they can pick that up on the tongue, they pick it up on the tongue, and they can hear through their jaw, the vibration on the jaw which goes up to the inner ear. So snakes, they're more developed because they have that type that they can hear. And then of course the poor old frog, he's croaking away thinking, I have a very nice voice. Frogs like to, you know, hear their voice, you know, they like to go in the well and croak. They like to, we had up in New Governor in the White House, we had one frog, especially after the rain, croaking so loud, he used to go in the downpipe, on the rain downpipe, and just lodge himself in there, and then croak, and because he was in the downpipe, it was echoing and amplified, so loud. It was like a big bullfrog or something. And we were trying to find that frog. He was so loud, no one could sleep at night, because at night time he would, and everyone, we can't sleep, where's that frog? And then someone found him down the drain pipe and got him out. And shone a light down there or something, and got a big stick and got him out. So we put him out somewhere else, so he wouldn't disturb anyone anymore. But the frogs like to hear their voices. But of course, you know, the snakes hear that, and then they come along very silently, and then they come and eat the frog. So the frog is croaking, thinking, oh, I'm a very nice voice, I'm just enchanted by their own voice, but it's just the croak of death. The croak of death, you know, they just, what happens, what's the use of croaking? They're just, the snakes come. And the snakes know that the frogs, especially after the rain, they like to croak, so they're out and about looking for the frogs. So Prabhupada actually says that here, the example of some of the persons who vibrate sound simply for death. Because, you know, there are sound, now sound, everyone knows that sound affects us. Even there's been research done at how sound affects the brain. It affects different parts of the brain, different parts of the brain for emotions. So sound can affect the emotions, it triggers emotions, that part in the brain for emotion by a certain type of sound. Also they say it triggers certain chemical reactions. It also sound can either hinder or stimulate neuro pathways, the pathways can be generated through sound. So some research shows that. So definitely, and also other parts of the body are affected by sound, interestingly enough. So therefore, the sound of Hare Krishna mantra can stimulate the brain, can stimulate the body, but beyond that even, that sound is Krishna and it actually stimulates the soul. So, in one sense, you know, ordinary sound stimulates the brain, and according to our particular type of brain and our conditioning, some sounds we like and some other sounds we don't like. Some sounds trigger certain emotions in some people and other emotions in other people. Certain chemicals are triggered in some people and different ones in other people by different sounds, because everyone has a little bit different brain to the other one and different types of conditioning. So sound has different effects for different type of people. Same sound for one person can bring on a certain emotion or reaction, and that same sound can bring on a different type of emotion and reaction in another person because of the different situations. Now, Hare Krishna mantra is also sound. And on the material level, it can stimulate the brain, but deeper than that, it goes to the soul, whereas the other mundane sound doesn't, you know, it just goes to the different external. But the Hare Krishna mantra goes to the soul and nourishes the soul, lifts up the veil of consciousness, of the covering of the soul, and the consciousness is affected because the soul is in contact with Krishna again. And therefore, the soul, I mean, the well-being of the soul affects the body also in such a way that one become, the body becomes itself enlivened and the brain becomes enlivened just by the presence of the power. The soul becomes powerful. It's the soul that's giving life, and the presence of the super soul also is giving life to the body, actually. So when the soul is enlivened, so too the body can become very enlivened. We see when the great devotees come, how there seem to be so much presence to them and so much effulgence to their bodies and to their minds and to their whole being. That's because the soul is very enlivened, and Krishna is rewarding that soul with more and more upliftment of consciousness, and that is also affecting that even the body itself becomes very purified. Sometimes the body is so purified, it's a different energy. It's all energy, prakriti. One is superior, spirit, soul, but the other one is the prakriti, and that energy can be enlivened as well. And even the body becomes very pure. So when we see that's why when we see the great devotee, we're benefited being in the presence, and even their bodies are spiritual. We like to touch the feet of the pure devotee like that. There was one story, actually, I just remembered another story of another sinful brahmana who lived in the court of the king, and he was always criticizing everyone and disturbing so many people and causing a lot of harm to people in the palace of the king. And even though he was married, he would go with so many different women. So his wife was a kind of a low class woman, and she started going with different men. So the husband found out about her and wanted to take severe action against her, even though he himself was doing it. But he wanted to take severe action. But before he could do it, she found out that he found out. And one night while he was sleeping, she killed him. She killed him. And then he had to go to the Yamaraj. And then later on, she got a very severe disease and she also died. So they both went to the Yamaraj, and then she had to suffer for a little while. She came back as a parrot, and he had to suffer a little while. Then he came back as a vulture. When he came back as a vulture, he could remember the past life, and then he was flying, and he saw the parrot that was formerly his wife, and he remembered, and he was remembering, she killed me. So then he was running after her with the vulture was running after the parrot, and the parrot was scared, running away. And then with his beak, he was pecking at her. And he killed her again. She killed him. And so he killed her in his form as a vulture, as revenge for her killing him previously. So she fell down dead and landed in a human skull, in the water of a human skull that was on the ground. And then just after that, a hunter who'd been there saw the vulture and shot him dead with his arrow. And then he fell down in the same human skull, in the water of the same human skull. So then all of a sudden, they went back to Yamaraj again. And then Yamaraj said, you are free from all sinful reactions. Not only that, but the Vishnu Dutas have informed me they are coming here to take you back home, back to Godhead. And so they were looking at each other. How is this? They said, that skull you fell in was a skull of one great devotee called Vat. That he had become so advanced that there was practically no difference between his soul and his body. And so when he passed away, now all that's left is that skull. And just by touching it, you became so purified that you were cleanse of all sinful reactions, and not only that, God has chosen to reward you by taking you back home, back to God. He said, you have done enough suffering. They have touched that. I'm taking them back home, back to God. So he says, such is the benefit of having that association of the pure devotee, physically, spiritually, in all ways, just by touching the skull, the water. They land in the water of the skull, and they were liberated by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was so kind to them. So anyway, So this is the benefit of the pure devotee, and the benefit of chanting Hare Krishna, of course, goes straight to the soul. And that's why, you know, Prabhupada stresses on this Hare Krishna mantra. And he always, when he writes, he writes the full mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All in this mantra is contained all the energies, the form of Krishna, the all-attractive, the form of his spiritual power, his Ladini Shakti, Hari, Hara, personified in Srimati Radharani is there. The spiritual pleasure potency, all is there in this mantra. And it was stressed, given a long time, E.T. Sorge Kam Nam Nam Kali Kalmananasanam, there's in one of the Upanishads, Kali Santanana Upanishad, there's the one, and it's stated that this mantra, Lord Brahma, when one time Narada Muni came to see Lord Brahma, he was worried about the people of Kali Yuga, how they'd be liberated, they're so attached to the materialism. And Lord Brahma said, you know, in the Kali Yuga, you won't find anything in the Veda as powerful as this Hare Krishna mantra. This will be the mantra for the age of the Kali. So God is very kind. He's come in the form of the mantra. And I remember one time Prabhupada was lecturing at the town hall here, and someone asked him, it says that God comes in every, in Bhagavad Gita, your divine, it says God comes in every, how has he come in the Kali? I was expecting Prabhupada to say he's come in the form of Lord Chaitanya, but actually he said he has come in the form of his name. He's come in the form of the Hare Krishna mantra. And then he said, Hare Krishna, 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 all the devotees, Hare Rama, Rama. God can appear in any way, and he has chosen to appear, especially to benefit the people of Kali Yuga in the form of his holy name, in that sound vibration. So in this age, just by hearing that chanting, by engaging in the chanting, one can come in direct contact with the Supreme Personality of God. And it's also given out very freely by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it even has more compassion and more mercy and even more power. We're very fortunate to be able to be chanting Hare Krishna. Anyone can chant, and maybe in the beginning we don't appreciate what is this chanting so much, but as we become more advanced about it, we very much appreciate Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki. Any questions? Yes, please.
How did you mention that
Nityaspada
famous garden, he went back to this spiritual world? I mean,
was there
eventually Yamraj and then
Yamraj
and then Vishnu
Das
are coming?
Well, no, which two stories? I told two stories. The one whose son did the chanting and liberated the father. That one?
No, the parrot.
The last one I told.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm.
They came in. They fell in the skull.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. So then they went to Yamraj, and Yamraj said that Vishnu Dutas are coming to take you back to spiritual world.
Yeah.
But and I was also reading this nectar of devotion, where it also says that even seeing just the deity or just seeing the Jagannath's heart, you know.
Sorry, I missed that.
Even just seeing the deity of the Lord, or just seeing the Jagannath's car, you know, all our sinful activities and things like that. But my question is that this age is so degraded.
And is it one?
This age is so degraded.
Yeah.
And we do so many sinful activities, you know. Mm. How would you explain about this? That we do.
How would we?
How
is it possible?
Yeah, I mean. That's true, then we chant the whole
This was in another age, and we can maybe understand that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Kali Yuga can never be done.
No,
great miracles are done in even any age.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, one time Prabhupada is in Hyderabad. He was giving a lecture. I was fortunate enough to be there. And when someone asked the question, Swami, there are many, we have in India, we have many guru and many sadhu, yogi, they can do miracles. Can you do any miracle? And then he thought, and then he looked around to all of us. He said, yes, all these boys and girls here, before they were addicted to so many materialistic activities and sinful activities, now they are pure devotees engaging only in the chanting and dancing and serving Krishna. This is a miracle. And everyone, Jai Prabhupada. So even in the Kali Yuga, Manaji, even the most fallen of the ages, But the Hare Krishna mantra is so powerful, and the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is so powerful, that therefore what was needed in Kali was something very powerful because of the Kali. And Lord Brahma told Narada Muni this. In all the Vedas, there's many different paths and different activities and rituals one can do to prayaschita or, you know, spiritual, but you won't find anything as powerful as this mantra, and needs to be powerful. So God, by his mercy, has come very powerfully in Kali Yuga, knowing the fallen condition of the people, to liberate them. But one has to take it, just like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says that if you're fallen down the well, and you're calling, help, help, I've fallen in the well, and someone comes, yes, yes, I will save you, yes, yes, save me, and then he throws down the rope, take the rope, how do I take, just take it. No, no, I can't take it. No, just take the rope. So you have to take it. You understand? It is there, just like the sun shines everywhere. Now, you can stand in the sun or you can turn your back and not see the sun. So when you turn your back and you don't see the sun, what do you see? Your shadow. Shadow. So that is Maya. So someone can turn into the sun of Krishna or turn the other way, and then they see the shadow. Then you're turning and that you see the Maya. She is the shadow. Oh, glory to Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Radha Balabha ki. Oh, Premanandi. Oh,